want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Monday to you, Brevard County. Welcome to December. We are so glad that you have tuned in to 91.5 WMIE to be a part of the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. This is a ministry brought to you by the saints of Merritt Assembly of God and other listeners throughout the county here who occasionally send in a financial donation. For that, we are very grateful. One of the people that helped make this program possible is the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804 for any of your block or concrete work needs. Now would be a great time to call them. A lot of people don't want to do projects around the house or things that are going to mess up the routine during the holidays. And so you might find that their schedules are a little more flexible this time of the year. Plus, it's a great time for them to work. It's not quite as hot as it is during the summertime, and that gives them a little bit of a break physically. That is a difficult, difficult job. Trust me, the learning curve to do that job, the physical stamina, the fatigue that sets in from doing that when you're not using those muscles on a regular basis, it would be noticed. And so I want to encourage you to give them a call for any of your block or concrete work needs. A friend of mine had contacted them, and he said, Bob, they can do that job for basically the same amount of money what I can buy the materials for, and they know what they're doing. And so I encourage you, give them a call, 321-536-5804. I don't know what they'll be able to quote you on their job, but I can tell you this, they will treat you fair. They will do the work with excellence, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. And that would be a blessing to us as well. So we're off and running here today. We have our first Christmas party coming up later this week that we will be a part of. And a little later in the month, we've got a kids' Christmas party at church, and a little bit later in the month, we have our church Christmas dinner that's coming up. And so this is going to be a very festive time of the year. So I pray that you get your joy where it's supposed to be, and gain control over what you eat and how much you eat and stuff like that. And make sure that you can still fit into your clothes, unless you're looking for new clothes, and then, you know, you might have a reason to buy something. When it comes to buying gifts, I was telling Paul, I said, in the past, I've only had two responsibilities: buy my wife's gift, and the second was to make sure that I bought Chick-fil-A calendars for everybody. And this year, they're not producing the calendars. They've made some transitions there. And so I've got a little bit less on my plate this year, as far as responsibilities and things like that. And for that, I'm happy, although I am sad, because I like their monthly specials that they put out with the calendar. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. If you were wondering where the Chick-fil-A calendars are, they are no more. They are no more. I'm sorry to be a bearer of bad news there. I'll see if I can't compensate for that. Although today we're going to be looking at the will of God. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We've come to the part in Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. Right now we are dealing with the will of the Lord, where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that is the goal. God's will done on earth in our community, in our atmosphere, the same way that it is done in heaven. That is without debate, without complaint, and with wholehearted obedience. That's the way that the angels respond in heaven, and that is the way that we should respond here on earth. So I will tell you right now, as we begin to touch on things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that today we're going to be touching on some things that are very prevalent in society. And this is probably not a teaching that is going to endear me to a lot of people, but it's the Word of God. I'm not called to teach the good parts of the Word. I'm called to preach the whole gospel, the full gospel. And that means things that tickle people's ears sometimes, that's fine. But it is also my responsibility to preach things that might be challenging. You know, I'm not here to please the ear. I do like to talk about faith. I do like to talk about salvation. I do like to talk about healing. I do like to talk about blessing and prosperity. But there's an obedience, there's a holiness factor, and we're going to be touching on that today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1 says this: "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." Now, if I just stop right there and told you it is the will of God for you to abound more and more, that you would experience abundance, that you would experience abundant will, wisdom, abundant health, abundant finances, abundant joy. I don't think anybody would argue about that. And so Paul starts off his teaching here, and he says, "I exhort you." That means I want to teach you this. It is God wants you in the Lord Jesus to abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So it is that walk and that desire to please God that result in abounding more and more. So I'm touching on this because we're getting ready to get to a part here in chapter 4 that some people aren't going to like, but I want you to see the heart of God is not because he's wants you to be miserable. He doesn't. He wants you to abound more and more. He wants you to walk abundantly. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. He wants you to walk in a manner that is pleasing and enjoyable in his sight. That's what he desires. But there are some parameters. There are some guardrails along the way. And those guardrails are not there to hem you in. They are there to protect you. They are there to point you in the right direction. When I was a kid, there was an amusement park in Tulsa, where I grew up, and you could drive these carts, and there was a rail in the middle, and so they would only go so fast. They were gas cars, but they were there was a rail in the middle that kept them from veering too far to the left and too far to the right. And, you know, kids at 3 and 4, back then we didn't have all those electric battery-powered cars to teach us to drive. That was one of the first times that we ever learned to drive, were on these cars at this amusement park, and you just bang them to the left and bang them to the right, and eventually you begin to control them a little bit better the older that you get. Well, God's will is that rail in our life, that as long as we stay in the center of his will, he's going to keep us on a path that is pleasing in his sight, that is holy in his sight. And so let's go on to verse number 2. "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Okay? I want to emphasize this word, commandment. Commandment. It is an imperative. It's not something that is issued without full awareness of the facts, of the challenges. There's nothing uninformed about this. It is not a suggestion. It is issued with authority. It's not up for debate. It's not for some and not for others. This is the commandments. He says, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." And that means that it is issued with the authority, with the full authority of heaven. The full authority of heaven. What is the commandment that he starts with? "For this is the will of God." Okay? Tomorrow we'll talk about another aspect of the will of God. But this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Another translation of that, who also gives us his Holy Spirit. So this is a teaching that is coming, like I said, with the full authority of heaven. This is coming from the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God. And if, rejecting this truth, 1 Thessalonians says, is a rejection of God. It's not a rejection of Paul. It's not a rejection of me. And, you know, a lot of people do that when it comes to the Word of God. They will take the parts that they like. They will discard the parts that they don't like. And if there's something that is in the Word that is not disposable, well, they'll try and undermine. I've literally had people say, well, this didn't come from Jesus. This came from Paul. And Paul makes no bones about it. He wants it to make it very clear. This teaching comes from the throne room of heaven. It comes from the Lord Jesus. It is the will of God the Father. Okay? And let me put the object and the goal, the highest prize out there, and that is God calls us to holiness. Isn't it amazing that God calls us from uncleanness and from unholiness, and he calls us into holiness? There's only one way that that's possible, and that is God doing a revolutionary work in our life. If God calls us out of a situation that was contaminating us, polluting us, and it was a behavior that was not conducive to the atmosphere of heaven, which is what we said we want, then we should be more than glad to give that up, whatever it may be. So let me assure you that in the response to God's invitation to holiness, his call, his command for holiness, there have been numerous things that I have been asked to lay down by God, and I will lay that down. And here's why. I don't believe that there's anything the devil has in any area of life that is of higher quality than what God has to offer. I believe when it comes to temptation, if we realize that Satan is to tempt us to embrace something that is lower in quality, something that is defective, it is not anywhere comparable to the glorious things that God has to offer for us, I'm not going to be enticed by that at all. You know, it's like, I remember a TV program, I think they've got a remake of it going on, called Let's Make a Deal. And people would have this really good prize and they would be willing to give that up just for the enticement that they could have something behind door number two or behind box number one that would be better than what they already had. I want you to understand that when it comes to temptation from Satan, he's willing to give you the junkyard, the car in the junkyard, as long as you are going to give him your very best. He will take the best that you have, and he will give you the worst that he can give you in response. That's just the way that he operates. So this call to holiness, there are several aspects here, subsets that are involved in this sanctification. That word sanctification, it's a big fancy word. It means set apart unto God. Yeah. Set apart unto God. It's, you are set apart for holy purposes. That's what is for all of us. This is something that is not just for one person in the church. This is for everybody in the church. This is the will of God, your sanctification. You are to be set apart. How does that happen? First of all, he says that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That was always something that Christianity had to address because they lived in such a promiscuous society. There was so much sexual sin that was going on and was normalized throughout their contemporary society at that time, that the disciples, when they were ministering to these Gentile believers, they said, look, we need to make you aware that worshiping God comes with a higher standard because he's called you to a higher purpose. He's called you to be holy. And so one of those things was to abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain does not mean slow down. Abstain means to avoid at all costs. It means to don't do this. Don't indulge this part of your carnal nature. You want to make sure that you honor God in all the areas of your life, not just some of the areas of your life. And I'm telling you, it is not an easy commandment, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, this is something that you can do. So you say, this is the will of God. Now, you want to debate whether it's the will of God? You don't need to take that up with me. You don't even really need to take that up with Paul. You need to take that up with the Holy Spirit. You need to take that up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, that there is a tremendous influx of immorality in the modern church. It doesn't just involve teenagers. There are a lot of people that think that sexual sin ends as soon as you cease being an adolescent, or the temptation goes away whenever you get married. That's not the case. It is not a sexual issue. It is a heart issue. And God says, I want to rule and reign in your heart to such an extent that you are going to honor me even in the sexual aspect of your life. And so that means that anything beyond one man, one woman in a married relationship to one another. Okay? One man, one woman in relationship with one another, covenant relationship with one another, married, that God says, that's the way that I want you to set aside this part of your life, because it is the most intimate, it is the most vulnerable that you will ever be. It is meant to be shared in covenant relationship with God. And so you could put pornography in the list of immorality. You could put premarital immorality in there. You could put adultery in that list. Sexual sin of every variety you can put into this category. And, you know, I know society wants to redefine the category, but the reality is you can put any label you want on it. You can call it an affair, but it's still an adultery. You can call it premarital sex, but it's still immorality. Doesn't matter if it's heterosexual or homosexual. God wants you to say, you know what? My carnal nature wants that, but God has higher purpose in my life than that. And so we set aside immorality for the purpose of honoring God, for the holy purpose that he has for us. Okay? And if you are willing to fight to defend something, it may have a stronger hold on your life than what you care to admit. And so, like I said, it's not something that ends whenever you're a teenager. I've got an article in my files that talks about one of the demographics in Central Florida where there's a tremendous amount of immorality and sexually transmitted diseases are not so much in the younger people. It's in senior citizens. The article goes way back. They don't talk about it too much anymore. But sexually transmitted diseases that are running rampant in some communities, and it's stuff that's like, you know, God, we need to honor you. We need to get back to the standard of God's word. And like I say, if you want to argue about that, I'm sorry, but it is the will of God. It's because God has something better for you. God has a covenant relationship, a lifelong relationship. So honor God, even when it's inconvenient for the flesh, honor him in all aspects of your body and watch the blessing and the favor of God, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So that means that we don't get to blame somebody else. We have to control our own self. Everything that I do in this body is like, okay, I've got to possess this body as a holy vessel. I need to do this. Even if it's not easy for my flesh, I need to do it because this is a manner in which I honor and worship God. Okay. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. What Paul is saying is there's a lot of people who are going to be doing this. The Bible talks about they're going to wonder why you don't participate in the same things that they are doing, while you're not getting drunk, while you're not getting high, while you're not going out and having all of this sexual immorality ruling and reigning in your life. They're going to wonder what's wrong with you, and it's not what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you, as far as they're concerned, is that you know God. And let's get to where the rubber meets the road, okay? And that is this: there are no special dispensations granted by God for disobedience in this area. The devil will try to get you to rationalize it. I've literally had people said, "Oh well, you know, I know that we're going to get married, and so God's told me that it's okay that we're going to go ahead, that we can go ahead and engage like we are a married couple." You don't have a special dispensation. Anytime that you have a special dispensation that permits you to violate the word of God, let me tell you what that is. That's called a lie from the enemy. Okay? So we're here talking about the will of God. If you know God, if you really know him, you're going to realize that relationship with him, it is the closest relationship that we can get to that here on earth is one husband, one wife, and a covenant relationship together that everybody knows. Hey, those two, they love each other, and the only people that they are vulnerable with is them. Solomon wrote that people who do not recognize this area of their life, and Solomon violated the scriptures. He had, I think, 700 wives, 300 concubines, something like that. He had way too many women in his life. But when he wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he said, this young man, he gave in to temptation, and he didn't realize that it was going to kill him. It would be what would be the death of him. Now, if you want more guilt in your life, if you want more shame in your life, go ahead and do that. But I can tell you that God doesn't intend for you to live underneath that burden. He wants you to honor him. We go on in this discussion that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. In other words, we are not supposed to be violating the marriage bed of our friends, our relatives, or anything like that, our neighbors, or anything like that. We're supposed to be dealing with one another to mutual benefit, so we don't covet one another's wives. Okay? We don't do that. We don't do the wife swap thing. We don't do that. We say, you know what? I'm going to honor God in this area of my life. And it said, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've got adult children. I do marriage counseling for, you know, couples who are going to get married, premarital counseling and all that sort of stuff. And we have some very frank discussions when it comes to this area. And it's not because I don't realize the great temptation that is there, because I do. And I will tell you that I'm very thankful for the Holy Spirit. It's not because I don't realize that it is a minefield that could do great harm to people's lives. It's because I do. I've seen the lives that have been impacted by unfaithfulness, by infidelity. It causes pain. It causes suffering. It causes strained relationships. It multiplies the misery index exponentially. And again, it's not because I'm detached or insensitive. It's because I realize how extremely difficult it is. Aren't you thankful that God said, I'm not gonna ask you to do this all by yourself. This isn't going to be done by willpower. It's going to be by the help of the Holy Spirit, whose grace is made perfect in weakness. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps you and helps me in this area to make sure we honor God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. And so when you realize you might look at this and focus on what God is asking you to lay down, I would rather shift your focus to say, look at what God is going to give you. Wholeness, healing, joy, peace, security. There is so much that God has. And the greatest of all is knowing this, that I said yes to the will of God, even in the most challenging arena of my life. I think that all of us would say, Lord, we want to be found obedient to your will. So remember, this teaching is not about shame. It is there to say God has called you out of that. God forgives that sin, wipes it away as if it never happened. But it is about not going back to that well, not going back to that pit and saying, God, I'm so thankful for this teaching because you want me to abound even in this area of life. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is